This morning I want to share on eternal life. One of my favorite scriptures is found in John chapter 1, verse 1. I mention it always. It's such a powerful portion of scripture, and one can meditate on this for so long and be filled with so much. And it speaks about the mystery of God, and in a sense, it gives us to a glimpse to the reason we exist. And in this, we find so much. And I just want us to just think about this as we talk about eternal life. But before we talk about eternal life, let's just look at the source of life. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. In Him was life. And that life is the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. I mean, there's something powerful about the Word of God. And this morning we are here together to receive from the Word of God. In the Word of God is life. That life is the light that shines into the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. This morning I want to talk about eternal life. Eternal life and what it is and where it can be found and how can we live it. How can we experience it? My first question this morning to you would be, what is eternal life? If you were to think about this concept of eternal life, what comes to mind? What is eternal life? It's not a trick question. Living forever. Most people say that. Most people refer to eternal life as living forever. But you know what? Eternal life is far more than that. As a matter of fact, our biblical understanding is that no one ceases to exist when they die. Eternal life that God speaks about is not the fact that we will live forever, because everyone will live forever. It's just where they're going to spend eternity that differs. But everyone is going to live forever. You're either going to live forever in the presence of God in heaven, or you're going to live in the absence of God in hell forever. But you're going to live forever. So the biblical understanding of eternal life that God has come to give is not the ability to live forever, because every human will live forever. That's not eternal life. Matthew 25 verse 46 speaks about eternal judgment or punishment as the destiny of the people who did not embrace God's life. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. You see, the eternal life that God speaks about, that He came to give us, is more than living forever. It is something far more than that. In John 3 verse 16, we hear the good news. Yes, we will all spend eternity somewhere. Either in glory in God's presence or in wrath in hell. That is a reality. But John 3:16 says, but God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the good news. God came to give us everlasting life. And that's not the ability to continue forever, because man is destined to continue forever. That is John 3:16. What is John 3 verse 17? Don't put it on. You should know it by now. We know John 3:16 so well, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have, what is verse 17? Amen. For God did not send His Son, this is so important, to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Saved unto what? Eternal life. What does verse 18 to 21 say? You must read it. It's powerful. You mustn't stop with one verse. Let's go to verse 18. It speaks about this two different places and God's heart for us to be in the one and not the other. He says, he who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that, remember John 1? That light has come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. I don't have the rest there, but it continues, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Do you see that light has come into the darkness? And everyone that loves the light, that believes in it, that trusts in it, that follows it, that embraces it, will have everlasting life. Those who reject the light, those who reject who Christ is, will face what we deserve because of our sin within us. So the question remains, what is everlasting life? What is eternal life? Many people mistakenly think the life that God promises is only for the future. It's only for one day when I die. Many people have mistakenly thought that the goal of salvation was only the forgiveness of sins, to avoid hell. But salvation is far more than that. Sure, not perishing in hell is an important part of salvation. It's an important part of what Jesus came to do, to save us so that we should not perish. But He accomplished that by paying our debt and all our sins on the cross. The fall of man came through sin, and with sin came consequences. Salvation, however, is far more than being forgiven of our sins so that we can go to heaven instead of going to hell. Eternal life is far more than that. Yes, the eternal life does point to the afterlife. It does point to the place where there is no death. Eternal life does mean escaping the power of death. In this life, we are ruled by death. Everything that lives will die. Physically, there is no way to escape it. But death wasn't the end of the story of Jesus Christ. It wasn't His end. God brought Him back to life. And in the same way, death doesn't mean the end of us, for those who believe in Him. Jesus, who was raised by God from the dead, made a promise to those who followed Him. He said this, "For this is my Father's will and purpose, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in and cleaves and trusts and relies on Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So yes, it does point to the future. It does point to life after death. This gives us hope for the future. Even if in this life we go through trouble, this gives us hope that in the life to come, there will no longer be trouble. But eternal life is far more than that. Eternal life is also what we have here right now, not just what we will have someday. So what does eternal life mean? Well, one thing to understand is what corrupted everything was sin, and sin separated us from God. Sin was a barrier that stood between us and a holy God, that had to be removed. There was something that came in between man and God. There was a relationship with life that God severed, that God distorted. Something came between us and God, who is the source of life. That something is sin. That something prevents us to come to God. And that something, sin, had to be removed. And that is what Christ came to do. He came to die on the cross. He became sin, and he took the penalty of sin, so that the barrier that was between us and God can be removed. So to what does that entitle us? If it doesn't entitle us to live forever, because we're living forever anyway, if it does not only entitle us to go to heaven, to where God is, what did we lose through sin? And what does the removal of sin entitle us to? It is so important to understand this. Sin not only produced death, it also distorted the image of God in us, and we spoke about that, but it also severed our relationship with God. Sin severed the relationship with God. Now that sin is removed and the image of God is restored in us through Christ, so too is the relationship. Not only are we forgiven, but that what hindered us from a relationship with God has been removed. Jesus defined eternal life this way. In John 17, verse 3, he says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." What is eternal life? Eternal life is knowing God. Eternal life is knowing God. Now, that definition might disappoint you. You might be thinking, but I know God, and still there is so much I struggle with, so much. Surely there must be more. Eternal life must be more than just knowing God. The key lies in our understanding of what the Bible means by knowing God. You see, this speaks much more of an intellectual knowledge. And you can see it in so many scriptures. This word to know God speaks of an intimate, close relationship with God that was severed, that was lost because of sin. And now sin is removed. So now we're entitled to that same relationship that we had in the beginning. We are entitled to a relationship with God who is life. This word to know God is not an intellectual knowledge. It's not just faith in a creed. This to know God speaks of an intimate personal relationship with God. The same relationship that there was in the beginning that we were separated from because of sin, that sin has now been removed. The veil, remember, that separated man from the holies of holies, it got torn. It was taken away so that we can enter to where God is. And that we can know God not through an intermediary, through the high priest, but we can know Him ourselves. That word to know God. You know, in Genesis we read, "For Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain." Adam didn't just know Eve intellectually. This word know speaks about something far more personal that was able to reproduce something. He had an intimate personal experience. Likewise, when Jesus says eternal life was knowing God, he was speaking of having an intimate, close, personal relationship with God. And that is awesome. However, so many Christians miss that. Eternal life is having, again, a relationship with God unhindered. In other words, the thing that was a problem, the thing that was a barrier, the thing that was between me and God is now removed. Now that it's removed, I can again have that close, personal, intimate relationship of knowing God. Eternal life is being restored to the source of life. That was 1 John. And eternal life starts here and now, not just one day, but now. I can have a relationship with God now. So many Christians live for the day that one day I will have a relationship with God. One day I will be able to see Him face to face. One day, after I die, when eternal life starts, I will know God. Many people believe Jesus died to forgive their sins, but they still don't have a close, personal, intimate relationship with the Father. They think that is reserved for heaven. And they continue to struggle through this life, singing songs. We sing songs when we will get to heaven, what that day will be like. Eternal life isn't just something that starts after you die. Eternal life is something here and now. Eternal life also refers to the quality of life, the quality of this life. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, I have come that you may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. Eternal life is not just for the future. Eternal life is for here and now. I have come that you may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. I've come not just to remove what hindered you from the source of life. I have come to bring you to the source of life. Abundantly in the original language means overflow, cannot be contained, above measure. It is a vase, it is a container that is filled to the brim, and then you don't stop. It just continues to overflow. Christ says, I've come to give you life, but not just any kind of life. I've given you life that overflows, that cannot be contained, that continues to flow. You know, when this ordinary life is routine and boring, or filled with fear and stress and reservation, Jesus says, I give you new life. Life that is abundantly overflowing, that cannot be contained. That is why I've come, that you may have life. Eternal life is God's own life living in you. It is God living in you. It is a relationship with the very source of life that flows through us. And if you want to know what this life means, if you want to know what is this life that Jesus speaks about, I've come to give you life and that you may have it more abundantly, then look at His life. Because this is the life that He came to give each and every one of us. If you look at Christ's life on the earth, you will see what is this life that He was speaking about. He's not speaking about wealth. He's not speaking about fame. He's speaking about something else that is far more than what this world can give us. That is something that Christ had within Him in this world. That is what He promises us. It is peace and joy and assurance. It is identity, confidence, and hope. It is love, compassion, and strength. It is the strength to win the struggle against sin that others fail in. It is this miraculous, miracle working power of God in us that makes every situation turn into a victory. That is the life that God has promised us. He says, I've come that you may have life. Not an ordinary, normal life, struggling through this life, bearing it until the very end. No, I've come to give you life and that you may have it more abundantly. That is the life that God has come to give. That is the life that he promises each and every one of us, not just for a select few. We all have access to that life because we all have access to God. God is the source of life. I am life. I am the one that shines into the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. I am the way, the truth, the way, and the life. I am life. Those who have the Son have eternal life. And the life that I've come to give is not an ordinary life. It's that you may have it more abundantly. Eternal life is full and it's free. It's like a natural spring that keeps bubbling up fresh, cool water. Even in the times of the greatest drought, there is life. Eternal life is that what is full and free and forever. It is the kind of life that we all really want. It is a life that is within you no matter what the circumstances is. There is abundance of life. Even though there's death all around you, even though circumstances is against you, there is life within you. Even though everybody around you is afraid and fearful, you have peace. Everybody that is stressing about the future, you have confidence. There is a love and a compassion that flows from you that cannot be explained in this world because you have the source of life. That is the life that God promises. Eternal life is the kind of life that results from a close, personal, and intimate relationship with Him. It can only be found there. This kind of life can never be achieved in ourselves, and it cannot be found in this world. This life that God is speaking about, this eternal life, cannot be found in our own effort. It cannot be found in this world either. This life that He speaks about is only found in Him. And in Him is not an intellectual understanding of who He is. It is not the belief in a doctrine. It is the knowing of a person. When you stand in His presence, there is no fear. We sang it. If God is for us, who can be against us? So why are you afraid of what man can do to you? If you know Him, who can be against you? If you're in His presence, you experience His love, how can you be afraid? It's in this place of intimate knowing of God where all these things, they disappear. It's in this place of knowing God where there's absolute peace, where there's absolute confidence, where there is no fear. If you stand in His presence and you know His love, who can be against you? What can the world do? When you're under the cover of His wings, what can the world do? What can man do? What can he say? If you stand in His presence, if you're under His embrace, what can this world do? This life that God promises in knowing Him. In knowing Him, there's fullness of life. This life cannot be found in this world. This life can only be found in the love of God. It cannot be found in the love of this world. That's why Jesus says in John 2 verse 15, He says, "Do not love the world or the things in this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of this world." And listen to this. And the world is passing away. It is temporal life. But he who does the will of God abides forever. this life that is life abundantly, overflowing, cannot be measured, is not found in this world or in things of this world. That is what the world pursues. Remember, the world tells you that if you have the fortune, if you have the fame, if you have the wife, if you have all this stuff that's in this world, you will be satisfied. And it's never satisfying. That's why the rich always wants to be richer. One house is never good enough. One Porsche is never good enough. One wife is never good enough. What is this website that's been exposed? Huh? Yes. It's never enough. This life that God promises is not found in this world, the things in this world. This life can only be found in the love of God. It cannot be found in the love of this world or things in this world. Eternal life is a relationship with God who is forever, who is the source of life, not a relationship with the world or the things in this world, which is temporal. It is found in a restored relationship with God that we all have access to. But we get so distracted with other stuff of this world that we miss the life that God is. We so easily get distracted by stuff in this world that takes us away from this knowing who God is. We get so distracted by the stuff in this world and we start to love stuff here that robs us from the life that is in a relationship with God. You know what's the powerful thing about love? Love is the conduit of life. Love is the conduit of life. It's like a pipe through which life flows. Where you plug this pipe in will determine what flows through it. If love is the conduit of life, if you plug love into this world, the life of this world will flow through it. But if love is the conduit of life and you plug this pipe into God, the life that is in God will flow through it. So where do you plug your pipe in? That's why Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. Because this pipe cannot be plugged into two places. It only has one fitting. And therefore he says, do not love the world or the things in the world, because the love of the Father is not there. Plug it in Him. Love Him, not love the world. Wherever you plug it in will determine what flows through it. God is the source of life abundantly, and love is the way to get it. This love that God speaks of, you can see it throughout the Bible, is total loyalty, commitment, and surrender. Remember 2 weeks ago? This is how you're overcoming by the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. They loved God more than anything. This love that God is speaking about is total commitment, loyalty, and surrender to Him. You can't plug this pipe into two places. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, no one can serve two masters. For they will either hate the one and love the other. Or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. Therefore, you cannot serve both God and money. This pipe can only be plugged in one place. And what you plug in will determine what flows through you. And that's why God says, do not love this world. I mean, one of my favorite scriptures in the Old Testament is Isaiah 55. It says, oh, everyone who thirsts. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty in this life? Do you want more? Do you want fulfillment? Do you want satisfaction? Do you want joy and love and peace that overflows, that cannot be contained? Do you want that? Well, God says, if you're thirsty for that, come to me. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Why do you plug yourself into the world? Listen carefully to me. Come eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in the abundance. Incline your ear to me and come to me here, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Isn't that powerful? If you're thirsty for life, why are you plugging it into the world? Come plug it into me. If you're thirsty for life, why do you love the world and the things in the world? It's empty. It's temporal. Love me. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the source. He continues to say, nobody can come to the Father except through me. And if you're plugged into God, His life will be in you. Because if you love God, He will be in you. The source of life will be in you. Here in John 14, he continues, a little while longer and the world will see me no more. The world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and the Father and you in me, and I in you. Do you see that? He who has my commandments and keeps them. He who listens to me, he who comes to me. He who has my commandments and keeps them. It is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. That's why the world will no longer see me, because they don't love me. And Judas said to him, Lord, how is it possible that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? What does that mean, Lord? And Jesus answered, said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Do you see that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was life. And if you hear my word and you keep my word, you will have life, because the word is life. I am the Word that became flesh. I am life. If you have me, you have the Father. If you love me, my Father will love we, and we will manifest ourselves to you. We will come and live within you. The source of life, eternal life, will be a fountain that springs forth from your innermost being and wells up and overflows, because you've plugged yourself into me. The source of Christ's love was his relationship with God. That's why I say, and you will know that I'm in the Father and he in me, and we are in you. If you love me, if you plug into me. What is God's definition of love? It's keeping his word, total commitment to follow him. And I see so many people come to the Lord, receive the forgiveness of their sins, and they are saved, but they are stuck in this world. And they're not fulfilled. And they suffer and they fear and they stress and they worry. And they are just waiting for heaven that they can really start living. if we can only get to heaven. You know how many Christians commit suicide? Because they're forgiven. But they haven't started living yet. And they think it's only for the future. What a lie. God says, I've come to give life, and that you may have it more abundantly. And if you have me, you have life. Now, already. Just love. Plug into me. Just waiting so that we can really start living. And we're missing the point of salvation. It's about a personal relationship with the person. That's the purpose of salvation, is to restore us unto a relationship with God, who is the source of life, so that we can have life now for eternity. It's not something for the select few. This is the normal Christian living. In fact, if this is not your experience, you haven't started living yet. If you do not experience this, you haven't started living yet. I dare to say it's probably because you're not plugged in. If you don't experience this life, where are you plugged in? Because this is not for a select few, this is for whosoever believes. Whosoever believes. Are you drinking from the wrong fountain? Because if you're drinking from his fountain, there is life. There is fullness of joy. There is peace. There is confidence. There is hope. There is assurance. Remember the Samaritan woman? She came to a water pit. She came with a vase on her head because she was thirsty. Remember that conversation? She left that pit without a vase. Because she found living water. Jesus said to her, whoever drinks of this fountain, they will thirst again. They'll come back tomorrow. You'll be satisfied a little bit, and tomorrow you'll be thirsty again. And you'll come back for more, and you will come back every day for more. You will be thirsty, a little bit satisfied, then thirsty again, then temporarily satisfied, then thirsty again, then temporarily satisfied, then thirsty again, and you will come back over and over and over again if you drink from this stream. But if you drink from the water that I give you, you will never thirst again. What fountain are you drinking from? John 4 verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. Isn't that amazing? This is not something for a select few. This is for everyone. If you are thirsty for this life that God promises, this love, this joy, this peace, this life that is more abundantly, if you're thirsty for this life, then go to the source. It's simple. Go to the right fountain. Don't love this world and the things in this world. It is temporal. The love of the Father is not in it. Go to God. He is the source. Have a relationship with him. Love him. be loyal, committed to Him above all else. Plug into Him. And when you do, you will have the life that He promises. Spend time with Him in His Word and His presence. Stop drinking the water that's in this world. You must make a decision. This pipe, you can only plug it in one of the two places. It's a decision that you need to make. You need to decide that I'm going to pursue God until I have the life that He promises. Simple, isn't it? Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. He who has the Son has eternal life. He who does not have the Son does not have eternal life. You can plug into Him, but you must make a decision. You must make a decision. Don't believe the lie of the devil. This world cannot give you that. Only God can. And that is found only in a relationship with Him. It's not in an understanding. It's in a relationship. It's not in a belief of a doctrine. It's not coming to church per se. It is in His presence, in knowing Him. It is seeking His face. It is reading His Word until it becomes alive, until you see Him, until you experience Him, until you know who He is, and it becomes a relationship. And when you're in that place under the cover of His wings, you know what? There's nothing you fear. There's nothing you fear. There's nothing you worry about. If God says, I love you, and I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you, why are we afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow? It's because we read it, but we're not there. If you're there, you will not fear. Perfect love casts out fear, all fear. So I want to encourage you. Eternal life is not just for when you die. It's for now. It's for here. That's why Christ came. He dealt with the sin. He dealt with everything that hindered you from that. So that we can come to God. The veil is torn. Don't stand on the outer courts. You don't have to. You don't have to. You can go into the inner court. You can go there. You can go there as often as you like. And when you do and you start to seek Him, you will find Him. And when you do, the life that He promises will be flowing from within you. And all the things in this world, you know what? Like the song goes, it will go dimly. How does it go? Strangely dim. Hi, people, there's a place of abundance. There's a place of life. You can have it now. It doesn't matter what your circumstances is. It doesn't matter. It's that place that it doesn't matter where you have no money or you have money. It doesn't matter because you have Him. I want to encourage you this morning. God is inviting you to drink from the fountain of life. To know Him. To spend time with Him. Says, come to me. You are thirsty. You are hungry. Come to me. And I will give you life. Everything you need. Everything. It's in Him. Let us stand. God gave His Son that we can live. The life that He gives is that we can live it more abundantly. The life is not just for the future, it is for now. This life is found in Christ. It is found in knowing Him. The life that He had is the life that we can have. Let's just tap into Him. Father, we want to thank You that we can come to You today. Know that You love us. You declared it, Lord. You showed it, Lord. You sent your Son. While we were still enemies, sinners, God, you gave your Son to remove everything that hindered us from coming to you, Lord, so that we may have life. And that we may have it to the full, that we may have it now, that we may know you now, Lord, that we can come into your presence now, that we can experience you, that we can hear your voice, that we can have the life that you've promised. As a down payment, Lord, you poured your Spirit in with us. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives within us, that gives life to our mortal bodies. Lord, you've given us everything that we need for life and godliness. It is found in you. Lord, I pray that as we hear today, that we will plug into you, that we will love you more, first, above all else, so that your life can flow through us. This morning, if you are struggling with fear, I really believe God wants to set you free. But this is more than a prayer. This is a commitment you make. This is a decision you make. I am going to plug into you, God. God says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because he who fears, fear torment. And I've come to give you life. And if you're here this morning and you're struggling with fear, if you're struggling with fear this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to make a decision that you're not going to plug into the world and what the world says. And yes, you may say, but Andries, that is not my experience. That's not what life and experience has taught me. Well, Jesus says you have only one teacher. And that's our problem. We've been taught by this world. We've been taught by our experience. We've allowed this world to teach us what is life. And God says something completely different. He says, I am life. And we need to decide who we're going to follow. Are we going to follow the teacher of this world, or are we going to follow Christ, who is our teacher? And if you're struggling with fear this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God, to say, God, today I choose to plug into you. I'm not going to listen to the world. I'm not going to listen to my experience. I'm going to plug into you. And if that is you, I want to give you an opportunity just to quickly come forward. If you're struggling with fear, I want you to come now. This is not a prayer. We are going to pray for you, but this is not a prayer. This is a decision. This is a decision that you're making. I'm going to plug into God. I'm not going to plug into the world. I'm not going to plug into what the devil says. I'm not going to plug into the uncertainty of what this life might bring me. I'm going to plug into the certainty of what God says. We need to decide who we're going to follow. Are we going to follow the world and our experiences? Are we going to follow what God says? I say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The world says, this is going to go wrong. That is going to go wrong. Your pension is not going to be enough. Who's going to care for you? And God says, I'm going to care for you. Who are you going to plug into? I want to give you an opportunity. If you are afraid to surrender all, this is one of the things that people are so afraid of, just plugging into God. You know, when God says, do not love this world and the things of this world, you know what? There's some fear that creeps up within us. What are the things that I need to let go? What are the things that I must let go? And that this is a fear that sometimes we have. A fear to surrender everything to God. Where I say, God, I'm going to make you first in my life. I'm going to make you the most important thing. And if you're struggling to surrender all, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity where God says, come. You know, Jesus said, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And you know who you are. You are standing here and you're hearing these words, and there's a resistance. There's a resistance in your heart. There's something that's holding you back. God is saying, come to me, surrender everything, and I will give you life. And there's something that you're afraid of. You're afraid that you have to change this, and you have to do this, and you have to let go of that. And God is not saying that. He said, come to me. Put me first. And if you feel this resistance in you, if you feel this fear, if you're afraid, that this is not just for a prayer. This is a decision that you're making today that is so powerful. You're deciding that I'm going to put my faith in God. I'm going to surrender all. I'm going to take this thing that is plugged into whatever it is, and I'm going to unplug it. I'm going to unplug it today, and I'm going to plug it into God. If that is you, I want you to come forward. You know who you are because you can experience it. It is a decision. And maybe it's the fear of man. Maybe you're afraid of what man will think or what man will do or what your parents will say or what you're going to lose. Jesus says, what does it help if you gain the entire world and you lose your own soul? Well, what can you give in exchange for your soul? Why are you afraid? God has not come to take away. He's come to give life. So don't be afraid. So if that is you, if you're struggling with this fear, whatever it is, you need to unplug and you need to plug into God. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to come. And while you're praying, if it's fear, if it's stress, if it's uncertainty, if whatever it is, come to God. And I want to end off with this. You know, there's something so powerful in Exodus. When Moses, remember when Moses, when he saw that burning bush and he came to that bush and it was God speaking to him. And we know the story how God called him to go back to Egypt to go deliver his people. And then at the end of this entire conversation, he said, okay, God, whom shall I say sent me? Whom shall I say sent me? Whom shall I tell the people? Who's this God that is saving them? And God says, tell them, I am. Tell them, I am. Tell them, I am sent you. I mean, how strange is that? Jehovah. Tell them, Jehovah. It literally means, I am. And then as God continues to reveal himself to the Israelites, he starts to add to I am. He says, Jehovah Jireh, I am your provision. Jehovah Nissi, I am the banner that's over you. Jehovah Shalom, I am peace. And then he goes on and on. I am the strength. I am the commander. I am the deliverer. I am everything that you need. Not everything you want, everything you need. Everything that you need, I am that. It doesn't matter what you need in this life. It doesn't matter what you're hungry and thirsty for. And this is my final call. If you are hungry and thirsty for more in this life, you are here and there are things in your life that you are hungry and thirsty for and you are not satisfied, God is saying this morning to you, I am. I am everything that you need. Whether it's peace, I'm peace. Whether it's deliverance, I'm deliverance. Whether it's love, I'm love. Whether it's acceptance, I'm acceptance. If it's vindication, I'm your vindication. I am. Whatever in this life you're hungry and thirsty for, God is saying, I am. All you need to do is you make a decision today that I'm going to plug into you. This is powerful, and this is why it's so difficult. That's why there's a battle going on in your heart and your mind, and that's why there's so many things going through your mind, and there's so many things that tries to stop you. I'm going to say, make a decision. That decision that you're making is unplugging it. Break the power of the lie in your life. Come. Come now. And God is going to give you everything you need. What you need. Not what you want, but what you need. Because this world will tell you what you want. God tells you what you need. And he has everything. So as you come, you're going to unplug and we're going to pray for you as you plug in. So let's just bow our heads and I'm going to give an opportunity for more to come. Father, we want to thank you that today we're standing here because of what you've done for us through your Son and you've given us life. God, I thank you for this life. Lord, I thank you that you have given us everything that we need for life. Lord, and this morning, Father, we're going to break the power of fear. We're going to break the power of fear over people's lives. Lord, we're going to break, Lord, the power of stress and worry. Lord, we're going to break the fear, Lord, of hunger and thirst for affection. Lord, a hunger and thirst for belonging. Lord, we're going to break the power of the lie that they are not loved and that they do not belong and that nobody cares. Lord, we're going to break the power of mammon, of money in people's lives. Lord, where our faith and trust, Lord, is in our pension funds and our investments and not in you. And we're afraid to let go of those things because who's going to look after us? Father, we want to break that in the name of Jesus. Father, we want to see people set free. Lord, of the need to be needed, of the need to be recognized, of the need to be exalted, the need to be, Father, you have everything. And Father, I want to thank you for each and every person that is responding this morning. Father, I want to thank you, Father, that as they choose to plug into you, your life will start to flow into them, into each and every one. Father God, so I thank you, Father. I thank you for each and every heart here, Father. I thank you for each and every pipe, Lord, that is moving this morning, Father. And faith, Lord, has been released, Father God, as they come to you, Father. And everything that they seek, Father, everything that they thirsty for, Lord, that you will provide for them. Because you are the great I am. I am everything that you need. I am everything that you need. I am your life. I am your lover. I am your provider. I am your healer. I am the one that will cover you, that will protect you, that will never leave you nor forsake you. I am the one that will give you fullness of joy. In me there is fullness of joy, not in this world, not in this life, but only in me. Father, so I thank you, Father, for life that is flowing, Father God, into lives and into generations, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for patterns and destinies, Father God, that will be established, Lord. I thank you, God, for freedom. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that this is nothing in this life that will keep them back from coming to you, Lord. And when they come into your presence, Father God, they will experience the promises and the fullness that you have, Father God. And I want to thank you, God, that they will become like towers of light, Lord, that people will run to, Lord, as they see the way they live their life. And they want to have that life. They want to have Christ that they see in them, Lord. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for each and every person that is here this morning that comes to you. Father, I pray that you will afresh, anew, just fill us more with you. God, give us a hunger for you and not for this world. Help us, Lord, to be satisfied, not here, but in you. And Father, so I thank you, Father, for healing. Those who need healing. Those who need healing. You must come that we pray for you. If you want healing, we want to know who you are and we're going to pray for you. If you want deliverance, we want to know who you are and we're going to pray for you because it is found in God, not in this world. And Lord, I thank you that as we leave this place, Father God, that we will find ourselves in your presence. We will find ourselves at your feet, God, and we will experience as we plug into you the life that you promise in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you that came forward, just remain for a moment. We're going to pray with you. For the rest of you, thank you so much for coming. May God bless you. There's some coffee and fellowship. Thank you for your patience. May God bless you. And may you have eternal life now.